We know there are many non-believers in the church all over the world, who of course we are very, very blessed by, because Christianity is not an exclusive religion. No, it's not exclusive, but rather it's an all-inclusive relationship with the one, the true, the living God Almighty, who loves us so much. Everyone's invited to be part of this family by simply believing in Jesus Christ. It's that simple. And so we welcome everyone. And John 3:16, this is your shukadai. If you do not know John 3:16 by heart, well then here you go. Practice, here we go. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish but have everlasting life. And so, of course, we rejoice in those who are here today who are non-believers, because you are open to hear. And of course, the Bible tells us that faith comes by hearing the Word of God. So we are very blessed for those who are interested in Christianity, who are seeking the truth, who don't want to be ignorant. You desire to have an educated opinion on what you believe or what you don't believe. And so we rejoice in that and we say, praise the Lord. Now, that's awesome. And so we're glad you're here, like I said, because many of us Christians were doing the same exact thing when we finally believed, okay? But there are, of course, other non-believers that are not so welcomed in the church. And the Bible has a lot to say about them. Notice as we begin here in 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 1. It says, but there were also false prophets among the people, even as there will be false teachers among you, who will secretly bring in destructive heresies, even denying the Lord who bought them, and bring on themselves a swift destruction. So false teachers are out there. Okay, and Peter says that there will be false teachers among you, it says. So we are not to be ignorant and we need to beware. Now, this guy named Warren Wiersbe, pretty famous guy, he writes this. He says, Satan is the counterfeiter. He has a false gospel, preaches by false ministers, produces false Christians. Satan plants his counterfeits wherever God plants true believers. Wow. That's the way Satan works, folks. So how do we apply this warning to our lives? His plain statement here is a warning that the church needs to be protected from such people. Among the many wonderful people who come through the doors of the church all over the world each year, you know, some would try to do more harm than good. They seem to be sometimes the most nicest people, but they may not believe in the authority of the Bible or that salvation comes through faith in Christ alone. Okay, these are two big ones. Now, we welcome such people in the sense because, you know, we all need Christ and we know those people are lost and they need Jesus too. So we welcome them, but we are not to allow them to have influence in the church. We need to beware and we need to be careful and we need to mark such folks and make sure they're not trying to discourage or corrupt or plant seeds of doubt or discord or all the rest. But how can we, of course, tell who they are? Well, there are many telltale warnings in the Bible, okay, that we can go on and on and on and on. And I almost did and realized I'm never going to finish this study if I keep going down that road, okay? But very simply put, taking everything in account, the only way we will know what is false is by knowing what is true. That simple. We know the best way to spot a counterfeit is to by studying the original, the real thing, right? You want to know a counterfeit? Well, study the real thing. You'll spot it right away. So, how are we to do that? That's the question. Well, the Apostle Paul, he said it like this in 2 Timothy 2:15. He said, "Be diligent to present yourselves approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." So any believer who is rightly dividing the word of truth and makes a careful study of the Bible can easily identify false doctrine. Therefore, we need to study the Bible and judge all teaching by what the Scriptures say. That's what we're doing here today. Learning. But you need to study on your own, too. If we don't know our Bible, then we won't know the truth. And that will leave us open to lies and deception. Okay? 2 Peter 2:2 says, "And many will follow their destructive ways, because of whom the way of truth will be blasphemed." And that's the tragedy of it all. So many people have, and they will continue to follow such teachers, such lies and deceit. We need to be careful. Alright? 2 Peter 2:3 says, "By covetousness they will exploit you with deceptive words. For a long time their judgment has not been idle, and their destruction does not slumber." If we do not want to be exploited, as it says, and taken advantage of course, we need to know the truth. We need to protect ourselves. You can't even trust in me, in a sense, when whoever stands on this pulpit after me. Because maybe Joseph's a false teacher. Well, how will you know? Well, you better know your Scriptures. That's how. You need to know. Now, Jesus said this, "You shall know the truth, and the truth will set you free." Because these people want to put you in bondage, you see. And so, we need to know the truth. What will eventually happen to these false prophets and teachers? Well, a teacher is going to have a stricter judgment, let me tell you. That's what the Bible says. It's scary to be up here. Well, 2 Peter 2:4-8 says, "For if God did not spare the angels who sinned, but cast them down to hell and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved for judgment," verse 5, "and did not spare the ancient world, but saved Noah, one of eight people, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood on the world of the ungodly," verse 6, "and turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned them to destruction, making them an example to those who afterwards would live ungodly," verse 7, "and delivered righteous Lot, who was oppressed by the filthy conduct of the wicked," in verse 8, "for that righteous man dwelling among them tormented his righteous soul from day to day by seeing and hearing their lawless deeds." If God didn't spare the angels, neither will He spare false prophets and teachers. And if God didn't spare the ungodly men and women back then, don't think He's going to spare the ungodly today, or tomorrow, or judgment day to come. These judgments are an example of people who live ungodly lives even today, and warning us that sin will be judged. Sin will be judged. Notice Colossians 3, 5, and 6. It says, "Therefore, put to death your members which are on the earth. Fornication, uncleanliness, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry." Verse 6, "Because of these things, the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience." You know, so many people, "God loves you, God loves me." He really does. But understand, the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience. I know we don't want to talk about that sometimes, but it's true. And it's true that we live in this world, but we don't have to be part of this world. And that's the point. We don't have to be part of it. Just because sin is all around us, it doesn't mean that we have to be partakers in it. You see, everyone's doing it, Joseph. Everyone's doing it. Well, let me tell you, that is not going to justify any one of our sins by saying everyone's doing it. I'm sorry. Peter shares that Noah and Lot were considered righteous men and were spared. But what does it mean to be righteous? And I've shared this before, and I'm going to share it again because I think it's really cool. Okay? Looking at the kanji for righteousness gives us a very good example of what it means to be righteous. Of course, it's gi, right? In Nihongo. And this kanji is made up of two characters. The top kanji, hitsuji, which means lamb. And the bottom, ware, which means me. So, what does that equal? Lamb over me. Am I the only one who thinks that's cool? I don't. Lamb over me. Now, John, I'm sorry. John chapter 1 verse 29 says this. The next day, John saw Jesus coming toward him and said, what? Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. So if we want to be righteous, then simply allow Jesus, the Lamb of God, to remain over us. And whatever we do, wherever we go, whatever we say, that's the key. You see? Proverbs 21:21 says this, "He who follows righteousness and mercy finds what? Life." Life. God's going to spare those who are righteous. And so, Noah finds life, righteousness, and honor. We need to have the Lamb of God, Jesus, over us in everything we do, folks. Everything we do, we say, we think, that's the key. Hold on to Jesus. And notice here, as we continue, 2 Peter 2:9. Then the Lord knows how to deliver the godly out of temptations and to reserve the unjust under punishment for the day of judgment. And, of course, just as God delivered righteous men like Noah and Lot, for example, so God will deliver His people before the wrath of God is poured out on the ungodly in this world in which we live today. Now, don't be deceived. Like I said, sin is going to be judged. But do we have the Lamb? That's the key. 2 Peter 2:10 through 14 as we read. And especially those who walk according to the flesh in the lust of uncleanliness and despise authority, they are presumptuous, self-willed, they are not afraid to speak evil of dignitaries, whereas angels who are greater in power and might, do not bring a reviling accusation against them before the Lord. But these, like natural brute beasts, made to be caught and destroyed, speak evil of the things they do not understand, and will utterly perish in their own corruption, and will receive the wages of unrighteousness as those who count it pleasure to carouse in the daytime. They are spots and blemishes, carousing in their own deceptions while they feast with you. Verse 14, having eyes full of adultery and that cannot cease from sin, enticing unstable souls. They have a heart trained in covetous practices and are accursed children. Wow. Okay, well, the Bible has a lot to say about these folks, okay? Well, the characteristics here of those who will be judged are described in these verses, you see. If our life is controlled by carnal desires, by our needs, then you know what? We are no different than that of an animal, really. For an animal lives to satisfy its own carnal cravings and needs, right? So, you know, I was thinking about this, and I was remembering when I grew up in East Los Angeles. In East Los Angeles, anybody from East LA here? I didn't think so. Okay. But in East Los Angeles, there's a lot of gangs, okay? Maybe you've heard of the violence that are in Los Angeles. There's a lot of gangs. And I grew up with a lot of, my friends were gang members. But this gang mentality really confused me. I never really understood it growing up, to be honest with you. Why are people in gangs? Why are they fighting all the rest? Gang members would go around, as you know, and they would mark their territory, right? And they spray graffiti everywhere. It's my turf. And then the other guy would spray over it, you know? And then, of course, they would kill and fight and kill over land that they didn't even own, okay? It didn't make sense to me. And new members, if you want to be a member of my gang, well, everybody's going to beat you up, okay? And they beat their new members in to welcome them to be part of the gang. That's how it works, okay? Like I said, I didn't understand. And there were many girls who would get gang raped. They're part of the gangs, and the whole gang would rape them. And I don't want to go any further, but I could go on and on and on about the craziness that happens. And I just didn't understand it for many years, to be honest. It didn't make any sense to me. And it wasn't until I was in Mexico one time on a missions trip. I was in Mexico one night on a missions trip and I was awakened at night by a dog fight. So I wake up, I look out the window and there's a big dog fight. All these dogs, right? And they were mauling another dog. Like this one dog, I guess, was walking through the neighborhood and it wasn't his neighborhood. So, these other dogs, they wanted to let them know who was boss, and so they attacked this dog. The next thing I know, the dog bellies up. I give up, right? And submits to these dogs. And all of a sudden, to my surprise, they go, okay, you submit, you're cool now, you're part of, they, come on, let's go. And they went walking off together. And guess what they were doing as they walked off together? They were marking their territory. All the way down the street. Forgive the vulgarity, go men aside. But it all of a sudden made sense to me. Welcome to the gang. Welcome to the gang. When we live after our flesh and seek only to satisfy our bodily appetites, we are no different than natural brute beasts. It's the lower nature, folks. It's as low can go. And that's what I realized. There's no difference. I'm probably going to get beat up after service. If I was to preach this in L.A., let me tell you. A little freedom here. But when we are born again, when we're born again by the Spirit of God, we no longer seek to relate to the animal kingdom. It is no longer how I can please my flesh or how I can receive fulfillment and gratification for my own desires. But it's now, of course, how I can please God. It's different. It's changed. I'm a new creation. How I can bring glory and honor to Him. Not to myself. It's a big difference. And that is really the true sign of a person who is born again. You see, it's not about you. It's not about me. It's all about Him. Well, if our entire life is still involved in just gratifying our own fleshly desires and needs, then based upon what the Bible teaches us, we would have to seriously question whether or not we have truly been born again by the Spirit of God or not. We need to question. You see, 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. All these old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. This doesn't mean, of course, that we will no longer have fleshly desires, okay? No way. They're not going away. Those desires will always be there. And we know that. So don't feel condemned today if you're struggling in one way or the other. We all do. But these things, these desires, they will no longer dominate and control our life, you see. Because we're no longer being controlled by the Spirit. Oh yeah, I'm by the flesh. The flesh is going to be tempting us, that's for sure. But we're being controlled by the Spirit of God. Which is a lot more powerful, folks. Who are we going to submit to, though, is the question. For when we submit to the Spirit, we are no longer ruled by our flesh. Notice what verse 12 said again, 2 Peter. It says, but these, like natural brute beasts, made to be caught and destroyed, speak evil of the things they do not understand, and will utterly perish in their own corruption. And isn't that true? Isn't it true that, haven't you ever seen people or heard of people who haven't, who speak evil of the Lord, who speak evil of the things of God, who don't even understand the things of God? They're not even Christians. And they're just, oh, Jesus, oh, I don't believe, you know, evolution. That's right. I didn't say evolution. Evolution, that's what I called it. Okay? It's just, you know, these things, ah, there's no God. And they don't even understand the things of God. And they speak evil. They are completely ignorant to what the Bible actually teaches, and yet they will speak evil against it, and in the meantime, by doing so, they're only condemning themselves. Notice what Jesus said, John 3:17-18, it says, for God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. Verse 18, he who believes in Him is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And sadly, some of these people are often in the church. These people, as Peter is warning us, are sometimes often in positions of leadership in the church, drawing people to themselves, deceiving, enticing, seeking to make merchandise of the people. We need to be careful. We need to know the truth. 2 Peter 2:15-16. They have forsaken the right way and gone astray, following the way of Balaam, the son of Beor, who loved the wages of unrighteousness. Verse 16. But he was rebuked for his iniquity. A dumb donkey speaking with a man's voice restrained the madness of the prophet. Some of you may remember the story in the Old Testament. There is no room, in other words, in the Scriptures for those teachers or leaders to be filled with pride. Understand, God can speak through a donkey if He wanted to, okay? He doesn't need me or you. Really, truly. 2 Peter 2:17-18. These are wells without water, clouds carried by a tempest, for whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever. Wow. Verse 18. For when they speak great swelling words of emptiness, they allure through the lust of the flesh, through lewdness, the ones who have actually escaped from those who live in error. So, when they speak great swelling words of emptiness, as it says, they promise that you can have whatever you desire, for example. And Peter says they try to entice through the lusts of the flesh. John said something similar here. He said in 1 John 2:16, for all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but of the world. And Jesus said in Matthew 16:26, for what profit is it to a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? You know, we need to watch out for what we lust after. We need to watch out for what we lust after. Why, Joseph? Because we may just get it. That which we are lusting after the most, you may just get what you want, and so can I, if I'm not careful. And let me tell you something. That might not be a very good thing. Notice 2 Peter 2:19 and 20. While they promise them liberty, they themselves are slaves of corruption. For by whom a person is overcome, by him also he is brought into bondage. Verse 20. For if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled in them and overcome, the latter end is worse for them than the beginning. So Peter, he acknowledges that people have actually escaped the pollution of the world through our Lord, but if they are again entangled in them and overcome, the latter end is worse than before, than the beginning. It's worse for them. It only gets worse, you see. We need to be careful. 2 Peter 2:21 and 22. For it would have been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than having known it to turn from the holy commandment delivered to them. Wow. Verse 22. But it has happened to them. According to the true proverb, a dog returns to his own vomit, and a sow, having washed to her swallowing, to her wallowing in the mire. So a dog returning to its vomit, there's nothing more disgusting than that, folks. Okay? I don't even understand it. But that's what it's like when we go back and do those things we did before. Blech. That's gross. Okay? But that's what we're liking ourselves to, natural brute beasts, as Peter said earlier. You see, it's more than just another New Year's resolution, okay? It's more than just cleaning up our old and filthy acts. Okay, this is a new year, I'm going to start again. Okay, here we go. No. And we really, the reality is, if we don't have a new birth, you see, if we don't have a new birth, we may be able to clean up our act, but before long, we'll be right back in the mud again, won't we? Only perhaps even deeper and even in a worse place than we were before. For example, if we were to take a pig out of the mud, okay, there's a little piggy for you, and we're going to take the little pig and, you know, we bring it in the house, and of course we take it for a bath and we scrub it with soap and we spray it with some perfume and we brush its little teeth, you know, okay, little piggy teeth, and we even get the whitened strips and everything. Okay, we just, you know, we put a little bow on it and, you know, it's cute. Oh, little piggy, right? But of course, what's in the pig's mind? What do you think the pig's thinking? Oh, how cute I look. Or is it thinking, where's the mud? Where's the mud, right? And if we were to let that pig go, it would go running, looking for the mud, and as soon as he found it, he would jump back in the mud, as happy as can be, rolling around. Oh, yeah. Get the stinky stuff off me. Right? You see, you've cleaned him up, but he needs more than just cleaning. He needs a change of nature. That's the point. And many people have made a surface reformation, if you will. But they haven't been born again. There hasn't been a change of nature. There's a difference. And how can you tell? Well, it's very easy. They come to church every week, all muddy. All muddy. You know, We call them Sunday Christians. We just come to church on Sunday, but the rest of the week we're rolling in the mud. And we come to get cleansed. Okay, get cleansed. It's a surface cleansing. There's no change, you see, if we're rolling in the mud all week. And sure, of course, the Word of God cleanses us up temporarily. You can do that very easily. Oh, I'm sorry, God. Oh, forgive me. Right? Of course, we know that. The Word of God is powerful. We can do that. But once we are let go in the world, where all the mud is waiting for us to jump into, what will we do? Well, for those who haven't been changed by the nature, born again of the Spirit, right back in the mud. We have got to be born again, folks. Only the power of the Spirit of God can keep us clean and change our nature. And that's what the true gospel is all about. Many teachers preach this surface thing, right? Without getting down to the real issues of being born of the Spirit of God. Jesus said, I tell you the truth, you must be born again. People, oh, you one of those born again people? That's right. I sure am, because that's what Jesus said. Some of these teachers, they may be helping people clean up their act, but unless they get to the real heart of the problem, we know what's going to happen. It's only a matter of time before they're rolling around that mud again. Let God cleanse you and me for good today, you see, and for tomorrow, from the inside out, from the inside out, from our heart. That's what needs to be cleansed, folks. It's only the Spirit of God that can do it. And if you have never asked Jesus Christ to be your personal Lord and Savior, well, perhaps today is the day you should do that. And perhaps if you feel like you've been acting like a pig lately, or a dog, well, perhaps today is the day you need to rededicate your life to the Lord and not go back down that way. And if that's you today, then I'd just like to lead you in a simple prayer of faith and rededication. So let's go ahead and bow our heads and pray together. Heavenly Father, I confess I have sinned against you. Please forgive me. I want to turn away from my sinful life and follow you. I believe that your Son, Jesus Christ, died for my sins, was resurrected from the dead, is alive. And here's my prayer. I invite Jesus to become the Lord of my life, to rule and reign in my heart from this day forward. Please, please, Father, send your Holy Spirit to help me obey you and to do your will for the rest of my life, from this point on. Oh, it doesn't matter how stained our past may be, our future is spotless. Our future from this moment on is spotless. We haven't messed it up, folks. And we don't have to, with the Spirit of God helping us through. And when we stumble and fall in that mud, which we most likely will probably do because we sin daily, just get back up. Don't wait till Sunday. Every day, remember just say, Father, forgive me, for I have sinned. Wash me and cleanse me. Please, as we ask this, in Jesus' name, Amen. ありがとうございます。